Many people get stage fright. The moment they have to speak or act in public, their voices tighten, their legs wobble, and the saliva turns to alum powder in their mouths. That doesn't happen to me with speech, only with music. Alone or in the shower, I can soap myself in strict tempo if there is music playing on my Sony Bathmaster, but if I think so much as a housefly is eavesdropping, everything goes hot, bothered, and bastardly. I lose the ability even to count the number of beats to a bar. It occurred to me, therefore, the Thursday prior to this programme, that a hypnotist might perhaps be able somehow to cure me of this self-consciousness and allow me to kid myself, when the moment came round on Saturday in front of cameras and studio audience, that I was alone and unwitnessed. The more I thought about it, the more logical it seemed. A hypnotist couldn't turn me into Mozart or Muddy Waters, but he might be able to remove the psychological obstacles that froze me whenever music and I met in public. I let my fingers do the initial walking, and then followed them all the way to Maddox Street, W1, where a hypnotherapist calling himself Michael Joseph had a little surgery. He came complete with a soothing manner and a most reassuring Hungarian voice. The matey disc-jockey tones of a Paul McKenna would have sent me scuttling, but a rich Middle European accent seemed just what was required. Aside from anything else, it reminded me of my grandfather. I explained the nature of my problem. "I see," said Mr. Joseph, folding his hands together like Sherlock Holmes at the commencement of a consultancy. "And what is the, how you say, the cue that comes before you must start singing for this programme?" I had to explain that the words that immediately preceded my singing were, in fact, "Hit it, bitch." "So, your friend, he's saying, 'Hit it, bitch,' and next music is starting and you must be singing, yes?"
"Yes."
The business of being put in a trance seemed childishly simple and disappointingly banal. No pocket watches were swung before me, no mood music or whale song played in the background, no mesmeric eyes bored into my soul. I was simply told to put my hands on my knees and to feel the palms melt down into the flesh of the knees. After a short time, it became impossible to feel what was hand and what was knee, while miles away in the distance, rich, sonorous Hungarian tones told me how pleasantly relaxed I was beginning to feel and how leaden and heavy my eyelids had become. It was a little like being lowered down a well, with the hypnotist's voice as the rope that kept me from any feeling of abandonment or panic. Once I was in what I might as well call a trance, I was asked for all memories and thoughts connected to singing. It was at this point that every detail of Kirk and the humiliation that attended my attempt at a solo Jerusalem the Golden flooded unbidden into my mind. So that was it. That was what had been holding me back all these years. A memory of childish public humiliation that had convinced me that I never could and never would sing in public. The hypnotist's voice, at once both far away and incredibly close, made the suggestion that when I heard the words, "Hit it, bitch," I would feel totally relaxed and confident, as if alone in the bath, unjudged, unself-conscious, and unembarrassed. I would sing the verse I had to sing on Saturday, lustily, forcefully, amusingly, and with all the relish, gusto, and self-pleasure of a group of Welshmen in the back seat of a rugby coach. Not his simile, but that is what he meant. I assimilated this suggestion, and made a strange, echoey interior note to myself that it was all quite true, and that it was absurd that Saturday's gig had ever held any terrors for me while my voice murmured assent. After counting me backwards into consciousness, and telling me how refreshed and splendid I would feel for the rest of the day, the hypnotist tried to sell me the inevitable smoking, dieting, and insomnia tapes that lined his bookshelves, and sent me on my way, my wallet lighter by 50 or so pounds, and my heart by 1,000,000 kilos. My performance that Saturday will never be counted alongside Marilyn Horne's debut at the Met or the release of Imagine, but I did get through it without a blush of self-consciousness or a tinge of fear.